Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line, hour number two, right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you on a Tuesday morning. Donnie, make miss playoff odds available now on the FanDuel Sportsbook here for three teams, Reds, Padres, Cardinals. Here's the first question I will ask you. Any issue that we don't see the Phillies or the Mets as teams live for that second NL wildcard spot?
No, I don't have any issues with it because I think both of those teams now are basically resigned to the fact that they're 500 ball clubs. What's getting hot for either one of those teams, Kevin, between the Mets and the Phillies? Winning one in a row and then losing four in a row after that? So I don't have any qualms, Kevin, with that question you just asked me.
Fair enough. At the end of the day, if they're going to put the Cardinals there, I think they could probably then justifiably put the Mets and the Phillies. We'll start with St. Louis. Little process of elimination here about whether or not the Cardinals even matter in this market, or is this basically a head-to-head of the Reds and the Padres? I've been trying to convince Donnie that St. Louis was still alive in this race. I feel vindicated that they're alive in this market. They lost two out of three at home to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're done, Donnie.
Yeah, and you can go ahead. Is there a correlation between you and Kev here, between the, I guess, the Clippers and the Cardinals, how we keep getting... Look at the numbers on the screen that we just had up there. The Reds are a minus 188. The Padres are a plus 205. You know what doesn't fit in here? A yes number on 14, the one with the Cardinals. Enough with the Cardinals here to put them in. I don't know what the deal is, Kevin, we're getting them out of here. So that's my thought.
Hold on now. This is unbelievable. Hold on, Don. I mean, you're telling me that you don't want to bet this team at 120-1 to win the Central and catch a Brewers team that they were lucky to score off of? You don't want them at 100-1 to win the NL? I mean, come on. You know what is interesting, though, is that the Cardinals are 100-1 to win the National League, but the Phillies are 27-1 and the Mets are 35-1. So, I mean, hey now. Phillies and Mets maybe going to get active, going to get hot here. This is the big thing for the Reds and the Padres right now. One game separates these teams. The Cincinnati Reds, as reflected by the odds, are your favorites. Both ball clubs are starting very big series this coming week here. The Reds go to Milwaukee. The Padres, Donnie, bring in the LA Dodgers.
Yes, and this is actually a great question here. Outside of, you know, throwing the Cardinals in there once again at 14-1, but between the Reds and the Padres, there is an interesting schedule conflict here between both, because you're saying, now, wait a second here. The Padres are probably the more talented overall team than the Reds. Why was there this big discrepancy on what the actual prices would be between minus 188 for the Reds to make the playoffs and the Padres at plus 205? Here's the reason. It's scheduling, Kevin. Look at the Reds' schedule heading down the stretch. Yes, they have three versus Milwaukee. That's going to be a tough series to win. But if we're looking more towards September and how this actually is going to stack up, you have three games set with the Miami Marlins, you know, one of the lower-level teams in Major League Baseball. You have three with the Cubs, another low-level team, nine with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and four with the Washington Nationals. So when you're looking at that last 10 games of the season, you have a chance to make up some serious ground as when other teams are going to be playing much tougher opponents. Look at the Padres here. You're right. They go in and play three versus Los Angeles. Then they get the Angels and the Diamondbacks here. You can win. But then take a look at this one, Kevin. A series with Houston. A series with the Dodgers coming up. Four with the San Francisco Giants. Three on the road with St. Louis. Another three with San Francisco. You know who's coupled that by? Atlanta, Los Angeles, San Francisco to end the season. What a schedule, Kevin, for the Padres. They ain't getting in.
Let me bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, Tuesday morning action here, talking make-miss playoffs. Sometimes, and I knew the Padres' schedule wasn't easy, but I just did the math. 36 Ooh. Games left for San Diego. 19 of them are against the Dodgers or Giants. And that doesn't include the fact that there's an Atlanta series as well as an Astros series. Boy, oh boy. Like, basically, you know what? To your point, Donnie, if you're going to buy the Padres at plus 205, just bet them, I think, to win the NL pennant. Because they'll be playing such unbelievable baseball there. Try and do some damage with 18-1.
Yeah.
What a schedule for this team.
Yeah, and by the way, Kevin, you know how you're going to win this schedule and really get through the last week of August and through September? All you got to do is fire your pitching coach. They got this, Kevin. I mean, that was the reason why they're struggling so much here. You just get rid of the pitching coach and you just go ham on some of these really good teams in Major League Baseball. But that schedule is as tough a climb as you can get in Major League Baseball, because when we talked about, you know, the top three teams here in the NL West, you knew eventually they were all going to play each other down the stretch. But now looking at it and saying, boy, this team's really talented, only one game back, that is an unbelievable mountain to climb to get in. And you are correct with a great point here. If they're going to make the playoffs, that means they are battle-tested and they're going to do damage in the playoffs.
Like, realistically, you take 18-1 single-game elimination against the Dodgers, you can start a hedge process right then and there. You know what? It's so funny because I was like, you know, I was like, they probably have a bunch of games against the NL West. I was surprised at the number. They should be like 3-1, 4-1. You have to be kidding me with that schedule. You have to be actually the Reds would basically have to play only Milwaukee for their remaining 30, 40 games to match up with what they've got going on here. Incredible stuff. We've talked about it with San Diego, man, for a while. Larry Rothschild got a tough end of the stick, man. They're just going to keep firing people series after series. Coming up next, though, here on the early line, we're talking Pittsburgh Steelers. Can Mike Tomlin keep him above 500 again? We'll find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off of a division championship, are now expected to finish third in that division. A win total right now that I know has a lot of people's attention because the number is 8.5 and it's plus money to the over. This feels like Dave Sharapan's working in the back room, because I think there's people that like this to the over, and yet the odds to the over keep getting higher and higher and higher. It is now plus 110 for them to go over 8.5. But the reason, Donnie, that this is so fascinating for people, Mike Tomlin has never been sub 500 in his tenure as the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. Could this be the first time?
I think it might be the first time here, Kevin. That's a telling number. You're talking about an 8-win football team, or 8.5 is the team total. Also keep in mind, it's shaded at plus 110 to the over. So that tells you that there's probably more of a chance of that going under. And also with a 17-game schedule, we have to think about things in different, you know, eyesights, because 8-8 was always like, okay, 16 games even. You basically just have to go one game above 500, 9-8. You can lose 8 games on the season, Kevin, and still cash this season ticket. It's amazing when you look at it, but having said that, they get out of the gate here with a lot of home games, Kevin. Before the bye week, they're going to play at home, what? Raiders, Bengals, Broncos, and Seahawks, then go on their bye week. You better rack up some victories over that first portion of the season, because what I'm looking at here, and again, I said with Ben Roethlisberger, we're going to talk some of his numbers in just a little bit. If you think he's not the same quarterback as he was even a couple years ago, which I don't think he is, he lost a lot of weight, but you're looking at a new offensive coordinator and a brand new offensive line and an aging quarterback, not usually a recipe for success. So let's talk about how they can get to those 9 wins, Kevin. Take a look starting on Sunday, November 21st, which is on the road to play the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. tough game. You're going to go on the road against the Bengals. We don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be completely healthy at that point, but it's still a divisional road game, which in the NFL are tough to win those matchups. Then we slide it down. The Baltimore Ravens at home, at the Vikings, home to the Titans, at the Chiefs, home to the Browns, at the Ravens. That is a murderer's row of about a month and a half of a football season as you can get, where you hopefully have 6 to 7 wins already in your pocket, Kevin, to try to cash that 9 wins it's going to take to get over that price. When I look at those, I like the easier options on the back end of the schedule, not the tougher options here, Kevin. I actually think they stay under the 8.5. The Steelers, I'm going to go under this year, Kevin, on that one.
It's difficult. Because even if they come out hot, we watched what happened last year. That team collapsed, just fell over. And you can say, like, it's not like, oh, but the schedule was tough. They lost to the Washington football team at home, which was an absolute embarrassment. They lost to Buffalo. Okay, that's fine. Second best team last year in the AFC. They lost to the Bengals in one of the most embarrassing defeats of the season. That team, with Ryan Finley at quarterback, should have never been able to move the ball against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers should have been able to slice them and dice them, and they were not able to do that. They were unbeaten in their first 11 games and finished 12-4. So to your point, there's no guarantee that the back end of the schedule, we have to pick up a couple. No, you don't. And if they don't get out to a good start, Donnie, the wheels could very well fall off for this team here. So I don't really want to play this win total much at all. And typically, you know, one of the questions that, you know, we always ask, is there value on this number? Is there value on this number? The Steelers at plus 440 as the reigning champions of this division, inherently, I feel like I should say yes. But, Donnie, they don't just have to jump a Baltimore. It's Cleveland or Baltimore. I can't get there with Pittsburgh having the kind of season where they are better than both of those football teams.
Yeah, and one thing we know about the Steelers, Kevin, they have a very good defense. That's always going to be the mindset of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, on offense, it used to be Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of good wide receivers, which they still do have solid wide receivers. I like the draft pick there, Najee Harris, as your starting running back. You can use him up, 3-down back. But I just worry, Kevin, what you saw last year, I still can't get out of my mind, heading down the stretch, where everybody that was watching football and could surmise, like, I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, hey, there's a chance they go undefeated here. I'm like, well, this would be the craziest undefeated season we've ever seen, because nobody was trusting the Steelers down the stretch, and it almost looked like they were going to lose out once they got off to that giant lead in the, you know, NFL race to be the number one overall seed and slowly started to tumble down the standings. But I'm worried about Ben Roethlisberger taking the snap. It wasn't so long ago, Kevin, where you would see him in a shotgun position move maybe 6 inches in the pocket and throw with all upper body as if he had nothing left in his legs. Good that he lost weight. That should help him out. But also bad is new offensive coordinator, new scheme to learn, and also, oh, yeah, a not-so-good offensive line anymore. It's not Lamar Jackson back there, Kevin, where, hey, the offensive line isn't very good. Well, this kid's going to make plays with his feet and can avoid those blitzes or the pass rush. Ben's not going to be able to get out of the way of anything back there at this point. So that's why it's not so much as just you say, hey, I like the fade Pittsburgh. Tomlin's a good head coach. They have a good defense. Are they going to win football games? Yes. But I'm not looking at them in the same light, Kevin, as even just last year, 2 or 3 years ago, like, hey, Pittsburgh Steelers are still the kings of this division. To me, they deserve to be ranked third overall in that division because I think the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens are markedly better overall football teams than the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into the season.
We always talk season-long player props here as well when we do these previews. The Steelers are one of very few teams where you see three wide receivers listed for season-long numbers. Juju Smith-Schuster is the known name, but he has the lowest total of the bunch. Juju's season-long number, 800.5. Chase Claypool, 915.5. Deontay Johnson, 950.5. Do any members of this three-headed monster here for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the wide receiver position, Donnie, interest you over or under for season-long numbers?
I actually like Juju Smith-Schuster a little bit here, and he's probably the least explosive out of every single wide receiver we listed there on that graphic. I mean, obviously, Chase Claypool looks like he's going to be a really good wide receiver in the NFL, no doubt about it. But Juju Smith-Schuster, to me, if I'm looking at maybe the arm struggles of Ben Roethlisberger, you know he's going to play a lot of that inside slot position. You know the guys is going to be only about 10 to 15 yards downfield as opposed to Johnson and Claypool running those deeper routes. It's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster. So if I can count on him in that 75 to 85 catch range, he should be able to get 800 yards. And also keep in mind, again, you know, fitting the eye plane and the eye pattern of what we see, we have to keep reminding ourselves, Kevin, that there is an extra game on the schedule. So you have to adjust and say, you know, 800 is a little bit different over 16 games than 17. Even if it means, Kevin, you catch an extra 50 yards in that one game, that could be enough to propel you from 775 yards to over the total of 800 yards. A possession receiver, if he stays healthy, and if I don't think the offensive line is going to be that great, you're looking for those outlets a little bit quicker, and I think Juju can get over those 800 yards this year, Kevin.
Juju made one of the more interesting decisions this offseason, where he took less money to go back to Pittsburgh instead of play with either the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens. Two teams that are supposed to be markedly better than Pittsburgh. Two teams where you're either competing for a Super Bowl with Kansas City or probably getting an increased workload in Baltimore. I'd like to think that Juju knows that maybe he and Big Ben can remain on the same page there. You mentioned it. 830 for Juju last year in only 16 games. Caught 97 balls from Big Ben. And he finished, by the way, that playoff game with 157 yards. Now, look, Big Ben threw the ball a gazillion times in that game. But I think there is something to it. We touched briefly on those numbers in the first hour in terms of Najee's numbers and Big Ben's numbers. Najee remains, I think, Donnie, in terms of the skill position players, your non-quarterbacks, the most interesting non-quarterback for offensive rookie of the year. He is rightfully, to me, the first one you see at that plus 900 number.
And yes, and I like Najee. I think he's going to have a very good season, and it comes about a usage rate, Kevin. If he stays healthy through 17 games, he is going to rack up yardage here. So that is one of the players that I'm looking forward to. Not so much like Travis Etienne, who might struggle in his rookie season, Kevin.
Coming up next, the Cleveland Browns, Baker, and the boys trying to do a lot more than just make the playoffs. We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The early line, talking some Cleveland Browns. Donnie and I are odds making right now, setting week 13 lines. They're on a bye week 13. But we are looking at some of the other interesting nuggets here on this upcoming schedule for the Cleveland Browns. And this is a very different Cleveland Browns team. The second choice to win this division, slightly behind the Baltimore Ravens. But this is a team with real expectations. A win total of 10.5. Only the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens booked in front of them in the AFC. The Cleveland Browns, Baker, Mayfield, Stefanski coming and figuring some things out here. Donnie, how do we feel about Cleveland? Are there any numbers that are jumping out on the Browns coming into this season?
Yeah, I'll tell you what number just jumped out here, which had me, you know, a little bit, you know, confused, rolling over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, trying to unload on that win total, Kevin, of 8.5, which we had on a placard there. It is 10.5, and I expect big things from the Cleveland Browns here heading into the football season. And it's amazing, Kevin. This isn't what we used to say about the Browns. We used to laugh. Oh, the Browns going to go, you know, no wins on the season, let alone go over their win total. We're taking a look at, you have to cash a ticket. Think about this. Cash a ticket with the Cleveland Browns to get 11 wins on the season, and I like it here. There's no reason to believe here, Kevin, they can't go 11-6 with all the talent surrounding that football team. Is it a tough division? Are the Pittsburgh Steelers a good football team? Yes. Are the Baltimore Ravens a good football team? Yes, they are. But you looking at taking the next step in the evolution, and I do like the way the schedule works out. So if we're just taking a look right now from an overall wins perspective, this is a double-digit winning football team to me, talent-wise. Now you have the head coach to go along with it, as opposed to Freddie Kitchens calling the shots here for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to win 11 games this year, Kevin. They are going to win the AFC North.
The Cleveland Browns are such a fascinating team. I've been telling people that I think my plan with them for the rest of eternity is to decide what the consensus is and just go the other way. Because it just feels like maybe that's the safest bet here. Like last year, people were like, I'm over the Cleveland Browns. And then, you know, they were able to, you know, perform, double-digit wins, make the postseason, win a playoff game. They certainly have themselves real momentum. And you mentioned it as well. This is a loaded roster. One of the best offensive lines in the entire league. A great 1-2 punch in the backfield in Kareem Hunt, obviously, alongside Nick Chubb, who just got paid. Odell, Jarvis, Hooper, plenty of options for Baker Mayfield. And then the defensive side of the football there. Strong secondary, one of the best pass rushers in the entire league in Myles Garrett. They really do bring everything to the table here. They, of course, being the Cleveland Browns. I'm not running to the window on a 750 right now. I would say to win the AFC. I think plus 155 to win the North is interesting, but because Baltimore comes with such a high pedigree, now maybe some of you out there are equally high on Cleveland as you are low on Baltimore. We'll talk Ravens tomorrow. I think the 10.5 does make a lot of sense. 11-6, that's what they won 11 games last year, Donnie. So we're talking about a step backwards for what should be an improving young roster. The 10.5 does jump out a little bit here on the Browns. And when you go through this schedule here, it's spread out evenly. Tough game, couple of easy pockets here. They do start with three of their first five on the road, with Chiefs, Vikings, and Chargers as their road games. If they can get through that stretch there, playing 3-2 football, I think you'd be happy, and they'd be set up for a strong stretch run after that.
Exactly. And you're taking a look at, and I can't say enough about the coaching staff, you know, putting these players in position to win football games, particularly on offense, which you didn't have under Freddie Kitchens. How do you win in the National Football League? Get after the pass rusher and protect your own passer. They have elite talent on both sides of the football on the defensive and offensive lines. It's almost like the perfect matchup, Kevin, because outside if you take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs offense, you know, teams that really get after it, maybe the Los Angeles Rams because they have Sean McVay calling plays or Kyle Shanahan. But is there one offense that you would look at right now in the NFL that you're just like, you know what, again, outside the Kansas City Chiefs, I have to have this offense over the Cleveland Browns. It's almost the perfect storm. If Baker Mayfield plays as well as he did last year, which wasn't incredible, Kevin, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 3,500 yards. Imagine if he improves on that with the talent that you have on that roster. Another year into the scheme here. The sky is the limit for that offense, Kevin.
As far as Baker Mayfield goes, Donnie, he's 26-1 to an MVP. This is a market that I look at, and I don't know where the value is. And I'm not sure it's on Baker Mayfield. If this team goes out there and has the AFC's best record, I'm sure he'll be in the conversation. Are there any Baker Mayfield props that you're looking at here, whether it be the yardage numbers, or could he be live for an MVP or anything like that?
It's very hard because typically you're saying to yourself, Kevin, like, if you expect the football team to be good and win 11 games, he should be up for some awards because what does that mean, Kevin? He's playing well, but also the rest of the team is playing well also. So when we take a look at the 4,000 passing yards, is that doable? Absolutely. But let's also take a look back. We know the NFL now is a passing league. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to win, let's just say 11 games, let's just say they just get over the win total, Kevin, they end up 11-6. Do you know what that means? Late in the fourth quarter, they're going to have the lead in the majority of football games. You know what they're not going to be doing? Throwing play-action passes, trying to get 40-yard chunks to get back into a football game. They're going to be handing it off behind that talented, dominant offensive line. Kareem Hunt at running back. Nick Chubb at running back. I just think there's so many mouths to feed, like we started off the show saying, that I don't know if one guy has to actually splurge here, whether Odell gets 1,500 yards receiving, or if you need 35 touchdown passes out of Baker Mayfield. I think if they spread it around equally, this football team is going to be much better, and I think that's going to hinder some of these big numbers. Because when we take a look at MVP races, what do you need? 50-plus touchdown passes. I don't think Baker Mayfield needs to do that. Now, if they go 13-4, you know, 14-3, something in that range, he's probably going to have a good season. But then again, you start looking at MVP saying, all right, who's the best player on the best football team? And maybe if that's Baker Mayfield, he gets the nod. But typically when you need an MVP season, you have to have astronomical numbers. And he doesn't need that for Baker Mayfield here, Kevin.
I think it's a good point. And the interesting thing is, we talk about some of these season-long player props here. It feels like more often than not, we'd probably prefer to bet overs. But we've talked season-long player props. If you bet, the reason why I think a lot of the numbers, you'll jump out and be like, whoa, man, that is light, is because you need health. You like, if you don't get health, you lose. You're going to lose that bet. And there's not, like, you could miss a game. Maybe two, not much more than that when you talk about some of these numbers. So if there are some unders that jump out, they could be worth playing. One number that stands out to me a little bit here, as is Donnie, is the Jarvis Landry number at 900 receiving yards. He got to 840 last year as the guy by himself for the most part there. Rashad Higgins, Austin Hooper, Odell only played half the season. I know, again, he played 15 games, so maybe there's two more on the docket. But we also know that this is a Browns team that, as soon as they get a lead, would prefer to run the football here. When we look at some of these numbers for their skill players, whether it be Odell, Jarvis, or Nick Chubb, the Jarvis under jumps out to me.
It is interesting, and I'm glad you brought that point up, Kevin, because if you take a look at his receiving yards here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, over 900 to cash that ticket. Yes, there's an extra football game. 1,000 yards technically really isn't what it used to be because it is a primary passing league. But at the same time, Kevin, you have to look at that talented wide receiver who wants the football a whole heck of a lot also, and Odell Beckham Jr. didn't play a majority of the season last year, only getting through roughly 7 football games. So if we're led to believe, and we can't say, hey, this guy's only going to play 13 games this year, we don't know. If they're healthy entering into the football season, we have to assume they're going to go 17 games. So now you have that other guy on the opposite side where maybe the focus on every third down was towards Jarvis Landry. That's not going to be the case anymore. There are going to be plays put in for Odell Beckham Jr. early in that football game to keep him involved. And Odell Beckham Jr. is talented enough where he can be the lead dog and wide receiver on that football team overall. Because, again, it gets back to the point that we keep bringing up here. Everybody can't eat at the table, right? Baker Mayfield, 4,500 yards, 2,000-yard wide receivers, 2,000-yard running backs. Well, they might go undefeated if that's the case at this point, if you put in a little bit of talent on the defensive side of the football. So it's interesting that you bring these up here. If we're looking at maybe a wide receiver to jump over those numbers, I think the big playability of Odell Beckham, if he stays healthy over 17 games, I like a little bit more with Jarvis Landry being that steady ace over the middle, making 10-yard catch after 10-yard catch after 10-yard catch.
There's one more player prop parlay for season-long numbers that we didn't get, and that's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to combine for 2,500 rush yards at plus 320. Flat out, Donnie, I have no interest in such a number. There were two teams last year that got over such a total, and it's the one with Derrick Henry and the one with Lamar Jackson. An extra game? Fine. The Browns as a team didn't get to 2,500. I'm going to get there with two players. Do you want that number?
I don't want that number, but I do want Chubb here. You're going to see here coming up on the screen a 1,350-yard season here at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for Nick Chubb. That is absolutely 100% doable, Kevin, because in his future, behind that dominant offensive line, and you have wide receivers, and what that actually means is the play-action pass is going to drive back those linebackers, drive back those safeties. You're going to be winning football games, which means they're going to be salting away the remaining 5 to 6 minutes of a game by handing the football off, which means an extra 25 to 35 yards possible for Nick Chubb. I like his over prop. I just don't like the combined prop because, once again, Kevin, that combined prop means both of these guys probably getting over 1,000 yards. I trust Nick Chubb to get the market share, the lion's share there, and that's the way I would go as opposed to combining both of them.
Yeah, I'd be more interested in both guys to get to a grand. To your point, Chubb last year, 1,607 yards in 12 games. 5 additional games out there, possibly for Nick Chubb. very, very live to get over that number. Up next, a Major League Baseball board that is loaded with massive games. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Before we preview the Major League Baseball board, it is very important that you follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid as well as at Sports Grid TV. Don't just stop there, at Sports Grid Radio as well. Keep up to date with every single thing that we've got going on. The latest information, betting updates that you need are available at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Also, I know today people will be clicking away and following at Rightside VP. Is Donnie, Stinger Tuesday, my friend. The Barry Bonds of Sports Grid looking to be in action once again here, my friend. Now, look, it's early, and I've basically given Donnie a mandate. He's not allowed to try too hard for these because that's the secret sauce to getting the job done. But I know a lot of people are looking forward to it.
No, and we should have, you know, hopefully going for eight in a row today, Kevin, if we can go back to the first time that we both said, you know what? Stinger Tuesday thing is kind of cool with the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why don't we start participating? Maybe it works. Maybe it does. Maybe hit once a month here. Well, here's where the last 7 weeks in a row went. Nolan Arenado, plus 330. Bryce Harper, plus 320. CJ Cron, plus 300. Joey Votto at plus 350. Aaron Judge at plus 195. Kyle Seager, plus 280. And Fernando Tatis at plus 220. You know what they all have in common, Kevin? They all homered in back-to-back weeks here for seven straight winners here since we started on Dinger Tuesday. Yes, so I'm under pressure today on a Tuesday. I have to divulge my information, but as we know, you got to wait till all the lineups come out, and out of nowhere, that tweet will appear that says, here we go, number eight in a row. There is a lot of pressure on me to perform today. But, Kevin, I'm up for the challenge.
No doubt about it. We're going to have to employ Chris Berman to start talking about Donnie's home run streak at some point here. And I'll tell people this right now. I'm not afraid to give Donnie Hero of the Night 2 weeks in a row. He got it last week. Man. I'm very excited to go through this. It's a big honor, Donnie. It's a big honor, Hero of the Night. A lot of people, you know, fight over it on a nightly basis. Poor C.J. Beathard didn't even get to collect his award this morning. He did a good thing, though. Helped people get the over and a little backdoor cover for the Jaguars. So there you go, C.J. Beathard. I know he's been watching all episode, Donnie, C.J. Beathard, just waiting for that. I texted him. C.J. and I, very, very close. Shall we talk a little Major League Baseball, though, here? We got a big board, Donnie.
Let's get it.
We got a lot of important games. Here's where I think we should start, though, with the two series that really impact those make-miss playoff teams. One of them we do not have lines for, which is the Dodgers and the Padres just yet. Some rumblings. Yu Darvish potentially could be on his way back. Urias supposed to get the ball for the Dodgers. The Brewers are hosting the Reds. Oh, that's easy for Cincinnati. They only have to go against Corbin Burns. Milwaukee, minus 200, a total of 7.5.
Yeah, this isn't what you want to line up against. And here's the interesting part, Kevin, because, you know, you try to section off the season. What you did in April and May doesn't really matter all that much. It's what you're doing now and lately as we head towards the back end of the season and into September. Corbin Burns over the last 30 days, it just looks like a mirror of what he's done all season long, Kevin. An xFIP number of 3.07, striking out close to 30% of the batters that he is currently facing. Not given many free passes here. And the best part about him as well, not a lot of fly balls, Kevin. 50-50, which means 50% of the balls that are hit end up on the ground. That means outs. That means double plays. That means less extra base hits. Because how does that correlate right in it? Take a look at this, Kevin. Corbin Burns, a right-handed pitcher over the last month. He's faced roughly about 100 batters evenly. 51 for one side, lefties 48. Let's take a look at the weighted on base averages here. How about the lefties at 257? How about the righties? A 198. And oh yeah, the power number is what we like to take a look at because, hey, maybe if you're not making the most of every opportunity, every once in a while some guys are swinging for the fence or doubling into the gap or, you know, hitting for power. Lefties, a .087 ISO power number. Righties, a .063. So let's get this straight, Kevin. A lot of balls ending up on the ground, a lot of strikeouts, not a lot of guys on base, and not a lot of power. That's certainly something I don't want to walk into here being the Cincinnati Reds. As we take a look at them possibly being the leaders in the clubhouse schedule-wise going up against the Padres, their lineup actually matches up well with Corbin Burns, not per se because Corbin Burns and the way he can pitch, just because he's a right-handed pitcher. When I look at this game overall, that's the last one I want to line up against. I think we get enough hitting and enough power out of the Brewers lineup tonight, which has the ability to stack a lot of lefties against Tyler Mahle. That's the only way I can look here. Who's fading Corbin Burns in this spot? Certainly not me, Kevin.
Second choice to win the NL Cy Young right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook behind Walker Buehler. Each and every start now will make the difference. Again, between those two and Zach Wheeler probably for that award, with Jacob deGrom very likely not coming back for this season. The New York Mets, though, are in action against the Giants. Citi Field, 8.5 is the total. McGill, Long, the New York Mets need results. A slight home favorite here, Donnie. They are going to need to win this series if they're going to go down and hunt Atlanta.
Yeah, you never want to take a New York Mets, you know, game over, specifically even more so at home at Citi Field. But I got to tell you, you know, these playoff atmospheres, which this one is going to have, which I tend to say we like to go under, there are two pitchers on the mound I think they could be had. Take a look at Long, you know, over the last 30 days, not a lot of the batters that he's faced, you know, just over 20, but some right-handed damage has been done to him. Keep in mind, he is a left-handed pitcher. You're going to get stacked right-handed batters. The only thing is, can you predict that if the Mets can hit? That's always the issue here. But looking at this pitching matchup, at least for Long to start off the game, if you stack right-handed batters, you have a decent shot. Let's take a look on the opposite side over the past 30 days here for McGill, the righty on the mound, going up against the San Francisco Giants. The same thing that we just talked about, lefties and stacking righties with the New York Mets at the plate. Well, take a look at the San Francisco Giants today going up against a righty. They can stack good left-handed batters. Wade, LaStella, Belt, Crawford, Dickerson, Yastrzemski. That's a lot of lefties in the lineup. And why do we talk about that? A 4.55 xFIP number over the past month for McGill. Now, let's break it down here, because if you're facing a lot of lefties, the right side of the plate doesn't really matter too much, which McGill has been handling his business. But being a right-handed pitcher facing a lot of lefties, 60 batters McGill has faced over the past 30 days from the left-hand side, Kevin. A 366 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 204. I think we could get runs tonight here in Citi Field. How about that?
That's one of those, you take a deep breath, you think long and hard. And that's, I think, why also you've seen Donnie perfect the circle game approach here. I'll circle that game. There might be some better spots, though, on the board. Let's see if we can find some of those better spots. But again, there's so many big games here on this slate. The Phillies and the Rays. Boy, I would like the Phillies to help the Yanks out here. The Phillies, though, need to help themselves. Slight dogs at home with a total of 9.5. Tampa Bay, they've been so hot here. Can Ranger Suarez slow them down, Donnie?
Yeah, common theme that we just talked about with the Mets and also the San Francisco Giants. When you have a left-handed pitcher in, what do you want to do? Stack some right-handed bats. You're going to get some pretty good right-handed bats here for the Tampa Bay Rays in this game. Ranger Suarez over the past 30 days, Kevin, a 4.81 xFIP number. Look, you know what's interesting about this, too? Usually that means, you know, doubles in the gap and, you know, you're letting guys get on base, because he does have a walk issue. 16% of the batters he's faced over the past 70 batters, he has given free passes to. Only striking about 20% of the batters that he's faced, you'd like to have that a little bit more elevated. But how about this ground ball percentage here at Ranger Suarez? 75% of the balls in play go on the ground. That is tremendous stuff here. And that's the reason why, when you take a look at his splits here, the lefties, 0.118 for a weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 0 to lefties. He's completely shutting them down. Now, to right-handed batters, they're getting on base a little bit, primarily via the walk. It's a 367. But his ISO power number, Kevin, to right-handed batters is a 0.050. That's very good stuff here. So maybe if he can limit the damage. But keep in mind, a Ranger Suarez start basically means for the Philadelphia Phillies, Kevin, this is a bullpen game for them. Now, he has had some good outings. He has kept the Phillies in the ball game. That's the key indicator. But this isn't Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola pitching a complete game or heading into the seventh or eighth inning and saying, all right, let's piecemeal the final six outs of this game. You might be looking into the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth that you need your bullpen to come in and shut down this pretty good Rays lineup. Rasmussen on the opposite side, a 5.07 xFIP number. That is elevated. Walking guys over 10% of the batters he's faced over the previous 60 he's faced over the last 30 days. The Phillies need the hit. If the Phillies can hit, they will be in this ball game. But it always comes down to, Kevin, a bullpen game for the Phillies. Can you really trust them here? I don't think I can.
It's going to be really fun to follow a lot of these series as well that we're talking about starting this week. In a moment, I'm going to ask Donnie which games he circled. I just wanted to let people know as well. It's a long Major League Baseball season. And I personally found myself running into a bit of a wall there. The results not checking in the way that I wanted them to. I've decided this week, sometimes in the same way you an athlete, you change the eye frame here, switch things up a little bit myself. I think I'm going to stick with some strikeout props for this week. See how it works out for myself there. Now, again, we're going to still always look at your totals, your sides, this, that, and the deal. Strikeout props come out a little bit later in the day. I always make sure to tweet out to the people. Yesterday it did work out, though. 2-1 on three plays. And the nice thing about strikeout props as well is no matter the slate, no matter the pitchers, as long as you're willing to bet your overs and your unders, the numbers just have to be right there, right? It's like, oh, man, I need an ace on the mound. Well, they're going to have high strikeout numbers there. So there's yesterday, the two guys that worked out for me were Will Crow and Paul Blackburn, and I lost on Lance Lynn. So that'll be really fun to follow here, some strikeout props to get invested with. And I know as well the Morning After does a great job with those as well, so make sure you stick around for that. But let me ask you, Donnie, as far as circle plays here, what's catching the eye early on?
Yeah, a couple games that are interesting here, and I do have seven circled plays today. If we just go down that circled list that people say, hey, which games is Donnie digging on in the morning? Not fully vetted, but just say, you know what? These might pique my interest here. The Washington Nationals team total, San Francisco Giants, the New York Mets, the Boston Red Sox, the Colorado Rockies, the Houston Astros, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's just take a look at one of these games here, Kevin. Minnesota at Boston. Not a great bullpen for Minnesota. Not a great pitcher on the mound. And the numbers that I always like to look at here are more of the advanced analytical numbers. Forget about the ERA and stuff like that. The xFIP numbers, what's expected to possibly take place here with fielding independent pitching. That just means how does the pitcher actually stack up against the batters. Forget about, you know, if there's a ground ball here or, you know, run scores over here. Let's just see how they match up together. 5.52 xFIP, which is extremely high for Jacks. You're looking at four or less as a good Major League Baseball pitcher. Anything above five, you're entering into that disaster area. Also, what you take a look at from a pitcher here is how many strikeouts is he getting? Not a lot for Jacks over the past, what, maybe 100 batters over the last month. Only 16% of the batters that he's faced, Kevin, he has actually struck out. So when we take a look at the lineup tonight for the Boston Red Sox in a nice hitting environment here, starting at 7 o'clock tonight, out of the nine anticipated batters that we're going to have tonight, seven of those have elevated ISO power numbers versus right-handed pitching. Devers, 216, Bogarts, 220, Schwarber, 200, Martinez, 200, Verdugo, 208, Renfro, 354, and Dalbec, 500. That's a nice mix all the way up and down that lineup where you can do some damage. And as I always like to say with some of these, you like that two-pronged attack, meaning you can get after A, the starting pitcher, and also the bullpen. So maybe the Boston Red Sox here might be on that card tonight. But just an interesting look from a guy with a high xFIP number being Jax on the mound, the young pitcher for the Twins, going up against a lineup for the Boston Red Sox that profiles very well, including some high ISO power numbers versus right-handed pitching.
Boston had a massive win yesterday. Get the game to extra innings, win it with a grand slam walk-off there. So perhaps some momentum for that ball club here. I quickly, Donnie, at least have enough time to ask you, Yanks, 11 in a row? They are plus 120 dogs, though, in Atlanta.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one because if you're getting one of those, you know, more balanced pitchers here, you know, for the Atlanta Braves, it's going to be Charlie Morton. And you're going up against Keeney, who did show out very well his last time up. And also keep in mind, the last 30 days, we do know Atlanta on that hot streak, which was ended by the New York Yankees. They don't profile all that well against left-handed pitching. So a great game down there, Atlanta, tonight. And for me, from a perspective, from your perspective as well, let's go Yanks tonight. Come on, take down the Braves.
Yanks win, Phils win. Let's cut into some division leads and make the early line happy. Up next, Ariel joins Don to let you know what's coming up on the Morning After right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
best segment of the day here for the early line. 2 hours action-packed with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh setting the table here, and it's time to turn it over to the morning after. Over the next 3 hours, Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens will get you covered here. And we're going to have some fun talking a little bit of NFL football. I know they have a lot of guests here, rocking and rolling and ready to go. And also, you know, setting the stage. Prime time here once again for Monday Night Football. And how about that? Jameis Winston, QB1 for the Saints after a huge first half, throwing 2 touchdown passes, getting after it. He should be the starting quarterback for the Saints. I think we all know that. Taysom Hill, backup quarterback. That is fine. And that is going to be interesting to watch it play out over the remainder of the preseason. But why are we even watching it play out over the remainder? Sean Payton, take the microphone today. I want to hear it from you, right from your own lips. Jameis Winston is my starting quarterback. Taysom Hill will once again play that Swiss Army knife role for the New Orleans Saints. Also have big doings today in Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees trying to extend their double-digit win streak here to make it 11. But I have to say right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, which we all know and love, it is Dinger Tuesday. I've hit 7 straight winners. 7 straight. No, no, no. Not like, hey, throw out a couple guys each and every night, see if one of them hits. No, 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 people. 7 straight weeks, 7 straight winners, going for winner number 8 in a row tonight. And we'll see if we can make it happen. No, give me a follow on Twitter, at RightsideVP. I'm going to put that play out there. We're going to have some fun on this and hopefully get that 8th straight winner right here at the FanDuel Sportsbook on Dinger Tuesday. But also looking forward to this week as well. It's game week, people. It's game week in college football. Saturday, live NCAA football action. And then we set off the season with NFL right behind it. Full slates of week 1. And NCAA football, it is a fantastic time of the year. And oh, yeah, there's still Major League Baseball here and a lot of races and teams jockeying for a position to try to get into the Major League Baseball playoffs. But stay tuned here for the morning after the next 3 hours. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens, they got you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network. As for the early line, we're out of here, and we will see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.